This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
Jesus is the reason. Amen. That's the title of my sermon series this month. And we are focusing on Jesus. Somebody say, focus on Jesus. I love that. And so we've been talking about the reason why Jesus came to the earth. And we discovered in the first session that Jesus came to fulfill the prophecies of the Bible. A lot of people don't realize this, but one third of the Bible is prophecy. So prophecy is a big part of the Bible. It's God revealing what's going to happen in the future. And God is still revealing those things today. Amen? You believe that today? And I like that. So I like that. So I'm just going to give you a few prophecies that Jesus fulfilled. And in Matthew 1, 21 and 23, it says, "And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins." Underline that. He will save their people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated God with us. Glory to God. So that's one of the prophecies that were fulfilled. Another prophecy that was fulfilled was when Herod came against the children that were born 2 years and younger, and he had them killed. And there was a lot of blood spilt for Jesus to be here. And I'm telling you, there was a lot of sacrifice. And we also know that there's another scripture that was fulfilled. It says in Matthew 2:23, "And he came and dwelt in the city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled what was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene." So these are just a few examples of some of the prophecies that Jesus fulfilled while he was down here on earth. We also discovered that Jesus not only came to fulfill the prophecies, but he came to reveal the loving Heavenly Father. And we know that Jesus, when he talked about God, he just didn't use the name God or El Shaddai or Jehovah Rapha. He called God his Heavenly Father. And I love that he introduced a new concept to God, to most of the people that were there, the Jewish people. And he revealed the concept of God being Father. And so God is so good. So somebody say, God is my Heavenly Father. And we found out that a Heavenly Father is faithful. How many fathers do we have out here? Glory to God. And you have to be faithful to your family, faithful to the Lord. And I love what it says here in Deuteronomy 7:9, talking about the faithfulness of God. "Therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps his covenant of mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments." So we see here that God is faithful and he's a covenant-keeping God. God is a God of his word. You can trust God's word today. Do you believe that today? And I'm telling you, God will never go back on his word. He always follows through on his word. That's why we have Jesus. And that's why Jesus is the Savior of the world. We also discover that God is a God that loves to save and deliver people. How many people have discovered in your walk with Christ that God loves to deliver you? Amen? Has anybody ever been sick out here and God healed you and delivered you and set you free? God is a healing and delivering God. I love that. In Isaiah 59:1, it says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, nor his ear heavy that he cannot hear." I love that scripture talking about the power of our God. His hand is not too short. In other words, there's no problem that we face in this life that God can't get us out of. Can I get a witness in the house today? There's no problem that mankind encounters that God, he's an all-powerful heavenly Father, and he delights in delivering us out of all our troubles. Somebody say, I'm delivered out of all my troubles. And we found out that last week that God is a benevolent God. God is a good heavenly Father that loves to give. And in Matthew 20, 28, it says, just as the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. So Jesus is the ultimate giver. And Jesus did not come to be served, but to be servant of all. And I'm going to say this, if you're going to be great in the kingdom of God, start learning to be a servant. And when you serve out of a heart of love and thanksgiving, God's grace will be upon your lives. I like what it says in Romans 8:32. It says, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him for us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I'm going to say this, that God freely gives us all things through Christ Jesus. That means everything that heaven has to offer is ours. Can I get a witness in the house today? All the blessings are yes and amen in God. And there's lots of promises in the Bible, and all those promises are yes and amen. You just need to find a promise that you're dealing with. If you're dealing with a problem, there's a promise that will take care of that problem. Amen? And I love this because we found out also that God is not only a good heavenly Father that loves to give, but he's a heavenly Father that's merciful, and his truth reigns forever. So Jesus revealed the truth of the heavenly Father through the words that he spoke. Amen? I like what it says here in Matthew 9, 11 through 13. It says, when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? When Jesus heard that, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what it means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So Jesus revealed the truth of the Heavenly Father, and his truth is mercy reigns over judgment. So Jesus came. Notice when Jesus was born, the angels, there was a fireworks, if you could say, display in the sky. And there were angels flying all around saying, glory to God, peace on earth, and goodwill towards men. You know, Jesus is saying that to us today. Glory to God, peace on earth, and goodwill towards men. What does that mean? That means when Jesus came and he fulfilled all the prophecies and he fulfilled who the Father was and he fulfilled the goodness and the mercy of God through his life, through his death, through his resurrection, Jesus revealed the goodness of the Father, and that caused grace to be upon our lives. Say, I'm under God's grace today. I love that. You know, to understand the truth, and the truth is that God's grace is greater than God's judgment. And I love this truth because Jesus actually talks about a parable of the prodigal son. And have you ever heard of the parable? I know you have. You've been in church for a while. The prodigal son that leaves the father's house and takes the inheritance and he blows it on partying. Remember that story? You know, instead of it being called the parable of the prodigal son, it should be called the parable of the loving, forgiving father. Because that's really what it should be about. It's not about the son's sin. It's about the father's love. I'm going to say it to you today. It's not about your sin. It's about God's love for you. God's not focused on your sins. He's not focused on your shortcomings. He's focused on what you can be in him. He's not focused on your past. He's focused on your future. And it's a good future in God. Somebody say, I have a good future in God. Amen. And I love this because in Luke, it talks about the parable of the prodigal son or the loving father. And I like this, that the father was looking for the son from a distance and saw the son. And the Bible said the father did not turn his back, but he ran towards the son. And the son was there and said, I'm not even worthy to be called your son. But the father dismissed that and said, get the ring that represents the family seal, that you can do business with the family. Get the robe, which represents a robe of righteousness. And he clothed him. And he said, let's have a party. The Bible says it this way. When one sinner repents, all heaven shouts for glory. The angels in heaven have a party. And this son was dead, but now because he repented, he lives. I'm going to say this. You draw near to God, God will draw near to you. I like to say it this way. You draw near to God, God will come running to you. And his mercy will run into your life. Well, that's this little part of it was just the appetizer. Let me get into the main course this morning. So today, this Christmas Sunday, I want to reveal the main reason that Jesus came to this earth, and that is to offer redemption to mankind. Man has two problems in this earth. Those two problems are Satan and sin. Has anybody ever dealt with any of those problems in here? Jesus came to save man from their sins and deliver mankind from the power of the devil. Sin and Satan is the main enemies mankind and Jesus came to deal with both of these problems. First of all, mankind cannot make it to heaven just by religion or doing good works. Amen. You must have Jesus. I like what it says in Matthew 1, 21 and 23. And she will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. So Jesus is the solution to man's sin problem. Amen. Jesus is the solution for the world's sin problem. Jesus came to remove the sins of mankind so mankind can have a relationship with the heavenly Father. Amen. So the dilemma is that sin is the dilemma to this world system. In Romans 3, 10 and 12, it says, as is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have all together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. And this is a powerful scripture here because I'm going to say this. Before Jesus came in your life, you're in these scriptures here. You didn't really seek after God until the Holy Spirit drew you and drew you to God. You had no desire for the things of God. You lived your life the way you wanted to live it, according to your terms. But now we're blood-bought Christians, and we live according to God's ways and his terms. Say, I'm living for God this morning. Amen. And so I love that. So there's none righteous, saying that, you know, some would say that man is inherently good. No, I would have to come against that, and the scriptures come against that, because most people in this world think because they're moral and they have some morality that makes them good enough to make it to heaven. And morality never makes you good enough to make it to heaven. Joining a church never makes you good enough to make it in heaven. The only way you're going to get in heaven is by bowing your knee to Jesus, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. I like what it says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That means everybody. There's none of us that are perfect. There's only one perfect one, and they crucified him. How does God respond to the sinner that has not repented? In Isaiah 59:2, it says, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. So here, this scripture is very clear that a person that doesn't receive Christ, that doesn't repent of their sins, you are separated from God. But there is a solution from separation. You can be connected to God the Father through the love of Jesus Christ. Amen? Jesus came to save us from self-righteous life to a God-righteous life. I'm going to say it again. Jesus came to save us. See, most people don't think they're that bad. Most people in this world, you ask them, you're going to hell? They will say, no, I'm not. Why? Because I try to live my life right, try to do the right things. But have you bowed your knee to Jesus? Do I need Jesus? You need Jesus. We all need Jesus out here. Amen. People are sinners in need of a Savior. And most people don't think they're that bad. They look at themselves with rose-colored glasses and then they down everybody else around them. But listen, we gotta look at Jesus. The only way you can be saved is receiving Jesus as your Lord. Amen? Jesus came to give the gift of life, and that is salvation. Being religious or having good morals won't attain our salvation with God. We need Jesus. In other words, mankind can't save itself. It can't be saved through religion or religious practices. It only can be saved through Jesus Christ. I like this because Jesus spoke to a religious man in John 3. And this man was a Pharisee that adhered to religious laws. He prayed, he fasted, he did religious things. He was by most people a good person. But good people need to be saved people. Amen. And in John 3, it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, there we go, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter in a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit. Another word for water is the Word. The Word is likened to water. Water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound, but cannot tell where it comes from, where it goes. So as everyone is born of the Spirit, Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? And then Jesus says in verse 14, dropping down, he says, as Moses was lifted up and the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I love that. So, and then Jesus follows up with John 3:16, the golden text of the Bible. What is the golden text of the Bible? John 3:16. If you are a Christian and you are saved, you should know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Notice that God's mercy triumphs over judgment, that God's not looking to condemn the world, but he's looking to save the world. He's looking to deliver the world, to bring people. It's the goodness of God that brings men to repentance. How many people can shout amen on that? It's God's goodness that brought you to church today. It's God's goodness. How do you know that God's alive? It's when you're walking in his blessings. When you walk in his blessings, you know that God, when he's answering your prayers, when your children are getting saved, when you're getting healed, you know that there's a God in heaven that cares for you. Amen? We must have our sin nature changed from sinner to saint. To do this, we do this by receiving Jesus as our Lord and Savior, which means being born again. When you truly receive Jesus, you receive the nature of God on the inside of you. I love that. So here the scriptures talks about being born again, or you could say being saved. Paul says it a little different in 2 Corinthians. He says it this way, therefore, verse 17 through 19, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God who reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, given us the ministry of reconciliation, that as God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. And in verse 21, it says, for he made him who knew no sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So we see here, getting saved or receiving Jesus or being born again also equates to becoming a new creature in Christ. Somebody say, I'm a new creature in Christ. That's good news today. You're not the old person. You're a new person in Christ. God makes us new creations in Christ when we receive him. Number two, old things are passed away. That means your old sinful life is passed away. And that is good news today. And all things are new. That means that God brings new things into our life. We have a new nature, a new desire to serve God. If you don't have a desire to serve God, you might need to get saved. If you don't have a desire to come to church, you might need to get saved. If you don't have a desire to read your Bible, you might need to get saved. If you don't have a desire to pray, are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? You might need Jesus, because Jesus gives you new desires. I was never interested in God until I got saved. I was never interested in my Bible until I got saved. I was never interested in going to church. Amen. Because to me, before Jesus, church was a waste of time. Preachers just wanted your money. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Before I got saved. Now I realize that God wants our hearts. Amen. Amen. Can I get a witness today? Amen. So we all things are new. And number four, we have new purpose. When you get Jesus in your life, you have a ministry of reconciliation. That means that we're supposed to be witnessing the love of Jesus wherever we go. Again, it's not happy holidays, it's Merry Christmas. And that's where we're going to be at. Amen. And then we become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Somebody say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. I like what it says in 1 Corinthians, talking about what some of us used to be. It says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor rivalers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Notice this, and such were some of you, but you were washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. What is that saying? That's saying some of us used to be like that, but we're not like that anymore. Can I get a witness? We're not living that lifestyle anymore. If you're a true Christian in Jesus Christ, you're living a godly lifestyle. You're living your life for God. You're not living your life for yourself. You're not living your life to fill your own fancy. You're living your life for God. Amen. Jesus gives us the gift of no condemnation. I love that. That empowers us to walk free of sin. In Romans 8, 1 and 2, it says, therefore, there is now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death. We are free from the law of sin and death. Glory to God. We have the gift of righteousness. We have no condemnation. And this empowers us to be free from sin and death. And you might say, well, all of us are going to die. Yes, but this death that he's talking about is separation from Father God. He's talking about that we're free from being separated from Father God. In other words, we'll always be connected with the Father because we have Jesus in our lives. Amen? Jesus also came to give us authority over the devil. You have power over sin and authority over the devil. And some would say, we shouldn't be talking about the devil in church. Well, Jesus talked about the devil. Amen. And you need to know who your enemy is, because if you don't understand your enemy, you'll never win the battles of life. And I love this in Luke 10, 17 through 20. It says, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your name is written in heaven. So we see that Jesus gave power to the disciples. He gave them power over demonic spirits. And he was loaning them that power in a sense. He gave it to them in his name. But when he went to the cross and he went to hell for 3 days, he took the keys of death and hell from the devil, and he took the power away from the devil. The devil is powerless in a Christian's life as long as you understand that. Amen. So Jesus came to redeem us from and free us from the penalty of the power of sin and the power of the devil. Satan is behind sin and sickness, and we have the power over these evil forces that try to destroy our lives. I like what it says in Romans 6, 14. It says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. God's grace that we are now under empowers us to have dominion over Satan that's trying to dominate us through sin, sickness, and selfishness. God's grace given us by Jesus empowers us to live triumphant lives down here. In Romans, it says that we shall live like kings and reign like kings on this earth. You don't need to wait to heaven to reign like a king. You can start reigning like a king today. Why? Because Jesus has given us the power over sin. Jesus has given us the power over Satan. We can rule and reign in this life over Satan and sin and be triumphant and reign like kings. You believe that today? When we get an understanding of these three keys, the reason why Jesus came was to walk out God's love for us, we will walk in his peace. We'll walk in his love. When we understand these truths, we'll walk in his joy. We'll have the joy of the Lord. So this Christmas season, get a revelation that Jesus came to fulfill the prophecies. Jesus came to reveal the Father's love. And Jesus came to redeem us from the hand of the evil one. And when you get that revelation, you can't help but have a joy in your life. Did you receive it today? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you for your mercies and your goodness and your love. I thank you, Father God, that you are so good to us. Jesus, I thank you that you revealed us to us the love of the Father, and the Father loves each one of us. And perhaps you're relying on good morals. Perhaps you're relying on doing good things to make it to heaven. The only way you can make it in is by receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And if you've never received Jesus, never asked him into your life, never confessed the Lordship of Jesus Christ, well, today is the day of salvation. And I want to lead you in a simple prayer where you can make Jesus the Lord of your life and you can triumph over sin and Satan. Say this and mean it out loud. Say this out loud and mean it in your heart. Say, "Dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead for my justification. Today, I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen."
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.